Yes, we're talking health on Fitter Happier, and there's been some worrying news surfaced recently from a number of experts warning that Australia is facing a gonorrhea superbug crisis. Cases of gonorrhea rose in Australia by more than 60% in between 2008 and 2013, and there are fears that the sexually transmitted infection is on the verge of becoming untreatable. Lisa Bastian manages the Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program at the Department of Health, and Dr. Lewis Marshall is a sexual health physician. They join me in the studio now to discuss these alarming figures and what we can do about them. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us on the first edition of Fitter Happier.
Great to be here.
Great. Now, Lisa, can I start off by asking you to give us some background on the nature of this gonorrhea epidemic?
Sure. The Department of Health tracks sexually transmitted infections, along with other notifiable infections, and we have been observing that the rates of gonorrhea amongst young people, so about 16 to 29-year-olds, the rates have gone up significantly, and particularly amongst young women. So it's kind of gone up about 77% in young women, and it's a lot, and we are concerned about that people are unaware of the infection and unaware of how to protect themselves or get tested for the infection, and there are longer term consequences.
Do you think those are some of the reasons behind this increase, that people are just simply unaware of it? Is it a lack of knowledge?
I think definitely that's part of it. I think that it's also people don't experience symptoms, and if you're otherwise well, it's hard to be worried about something that you can't see and feel.
Sure.
But definitely, I think people's behaviour has probably changed over generations, and with increased partner change and indeed less condom use, people are vulnerable to sexually transmitted infections.
And now, Dr. Marshall, are these figures reflected in the cases that you're dealing with day to day in your practice?
Absolutely. We've seen a huge increase in gonorrhea in heterosexual people particularly. It's been a problem in men who have sex with men for some time, and it's increasing in that population. But this change into young heterosexual people is really quite concerning.
What are some of the symptoms of the disease?
Well, for men, it's the old pissing razor blades. I think people understand what that might feel like.
I'm sure they do.
Not that I've ever done it, but I can imagine what that might be like. So most men do have symptoms if it's in their penis, but most women, about 80% of women, don't have any symptoms until it causes a deeper pelvic infection. And so that's the real problem, is finding those young women early to get them treated before they get the pelvic infection. Because if they get a pelvic infection, then they've got a largely increased risk of infertility long term.
What are some of the effects? You mentioned some there, if this goes untreated in people that have it.
Yeah, so it becomes an ascending infection, gets into the fallopian tubes, and that can gum up those fallopian tubes, and so it's difficult for people to get pregnant. Rarely, it can get into the bloodstream. People can get septic arthritis, so joint infections, and very rarely it can go to the brain or to the heart. So it's a nasty disease if it leaves the genital tract.
So Lisa was speaking earlier about people being generally unaware of the fact. When you're treating people that have this disease, is it something that's completely new to them?
Yeah, I think gonorrhea has been seen as an old-fashioned disease. Sure. It was always the pox, that's what it was always known as, and I think everyone thinks, oh, that's gone.
Yeah.
Well, it's not gone, it's back with a vengeance, and I think, and interestingly, that's against a background of chlamydia levelling off over the last 5 years. We haven't had a big increase in chlamydia cases. We have this new epidemic of gonorrhea, and I think, as Lisa said, I think there's a lot of condom fatigue, if I can use that term, for want of a better term. The safe sex message, I think, has been diluted. HIV is now a manageable condition, so that sort of fear factor from HIV is now largely lost, and young people are putting themselves at risk by not using condoms.
I did actually want to talk about that, and Lisa, maybe I can get your reaction on this first. Obviously, in the 80s, HIV was a huge issue. We were seeing campaigns against it and people talking about safe sex and trying to ward against this horrible disease. And obviously, recently, the number of cases of HIV in Australia has dropped significantly to the point where it's pretty manageable now in terms of the drugs that you can get for the disease, as well as the new cases that are coming along. Do you think that's had any effects in the way people are thinking about STIs and their awareness or lack of awareness of them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, HIV fundamentally in Australia is a sexually transmitted infection. HIV predominantly affected gay men, and I think heterosexual people at that time and since have been a bit naive, perhaps, if that's fair to say, that they weren't at risk of HIV. And that's epidemiologically on a kind of a, you know, the notification stuff is true. So I think that HIV isn't perceived as such a life-threatening illness. It is, as you say, the treatment for HIV makes HIV a chronic condition, and people can expect to live normal, healthy lives and a normal life expectancy. So definitely HIV really, I think, woke us up to the risk of sexually transmitted infections, and it was a scary time, the 80s, around HIV, and that one of the consequential flow-ons was that, you know, people started talking about sex. They started talking about safe sex in a really very candid, normalised way. But I think with HIV being less of an alarming condition, the safe sex message has been lost.
Dr. Marshall, are we talking about sex enough?
I don't think we are. I mean, there's no compulsory sex education in schools in Western Australia. People can achieve all the outcomes of the health curriculum and not be taught about sex at all. Of course, talking about sex is not all about STIs. You know, it's a whole range of things about relationships and all those things. It's a very important aspect, I think, and I think more education could be done, both from schools but also for parents. I mean, you know, parents would have a huge responsibility as well in maintaining and initiating the sexual health of their children. And again, I think a lot of people get very nervous about that. The health department have a very good resource for that, to help parents talk about sex with their children. I think that's a really important thing. The more we can talk about it, the more open we are about it, I think that's the better outcome, because it means therefore people will hopefully protect themselves and know about how to protect themselves and to get tested. I think that's the other real take-home message from today, is that it's easy to get tested and important to get tested, because you may not know you've got a disease.
Sure. You're listening to the Mag on RTRFM 92.1 with me, Chris Mason, and this is the first edition of Fitter Happier, a segment that explores topics related to health. This week I'm joined by the manager of the Department of Health's Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program, Liz Sebastian, and sexual health physician Dr. Lewis Marshall. The topic of discussion is the increasing danger of gonorrhea. Now, Lisa, what is the definition of a superbug and how does it apply here?
A superbug? Wow. A superbug is an infection that is not treatable. So it's become resistant to a line of antibiotic treatment, and indeed that makes, you know, common treatments ineffective. So the department is concerned about any infection becoming a superbug, and certainly to offset that, we've made some changes in our clinical guidelines more recently. So gonorrhea is, in some parts of the state, just treated with oral antibiotics, but in other parts of the state, such as the Perth area and the southern parts of WA, it's complemented with an injection. But that's something that we're really, you know, in any clinical guideline or any antibiotic resistance is something that clinicians are absolutely concerned about.
Sure. Dr. Marshall, are you finding it harder and harder to treat the disease?
Luckily in Australia we've only had one case of a super resistant gonorrhea, so currently we do have an effective treatment, but we only have one. We've had one antibiotic that we can reliably rely upon, because if that goes, then we are really in trouble. There are very few new antibiotics in the pipeline. Antibiotics aren't a big money spinner for drug companies. You can imagine if you cure someone, then they're not an ongoing need. As a drug company, you want a drug that people take for the rest of their life. Yeah. And so there's not a lot of money and not enough research in new antibiotics. And I think that's a concern for us, is that there's nothing new in the pipeline that we can rely on if this current antibiotic fails.
So if it does fail, what's the next step?
There will be things you can try, but if it's truly can't be treated, then people are going to end up with very nasty complications. You know, in years gone by, with pre-penicillin days, men used to get very, very nasty what are called strictures, a narrowing of the urethra. And they weren't able to pass urine, and they used to have horrible things put down their urethra to open up their urethra. can you imagine that's not a pleasant thing
it's
to
wonderful.
Have done?
That sounds great.
Yeah, I think everyone's sitting here, all the men are sitting with their legs crossed at the moment, I'm sure, but we don't want to go back to those days. And so prevention is always better than cure.
Sure.
I think, you know, for anything in health, prevention's always better than cure. So not just say, oh, it's easy to fix, it's you just go to the doctor, you get a simple treatment and it's all sorted. Well, yes, currently that is the case, but wouldn't it be much better not to have it in the first place? And that's what we try and encourage people to try and protect themselves. Sure, we want to test them if they think they've been at risk, and therefore we can treat them early so they don't pass it on to someone else. But wouldn't it be much better if they didn't have to come for the testing in the first place?
Sure. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on the MAG this morning. It's been a fascinating chat about this disease that clearly we need to know much more about. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Fitter Happy as well. Cheers for coming in.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That was the manager of the Department of Health's Sexual Health and Bloodborne Virus Program, Lisa Bastian, and sexual health physician Dr. Lewis Marshall there, discussing the danger of gonorrhea on Fitter Happier. And Fitter Happier will be back next week. You're tuned to the MAG on RTRFM 92.1.